Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue our discussion on the rapture of the church. Are you rapture ready? Okay. We're talking about this because the events and situations we see going on in this world system and in life in general, they're increasing. Christ has said from his time how the end time was near, the end of the age is near. And so we've been talking about doing a study in Bible prophecy or end time events. And we must warn the Christian or warn the sinner, because a lot of people just living life nonchalantly, thinking that everything is just a bed of roses and it's all about what's going on in this life, but not understanding that they can be taken out at any moment, and to wake up on another in a burning hell, or to wake up unprepared or left behind when the rapture come, you know, there are going to be a lot of disappointed people. They're going to be disappointed that friends and family and people never warned them or told them, going to church week after week, but never had an understanding of the fact that they were in church but not in Christ. And can you imagine how disappointed people might be? You know, all the efforts, and Christ even told us, they said, you know, people come to him saying, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, but yet he said, well, look at them and say, depart from me, I know you not. And we don't want to hear those words, you know. We don't want people to wake up or on the other side and not make it in. So this is why we're diving into the end time events, because we all need to know what will happen or what is happening, how it's leading up to, first of all, the rapture of the church. And so we look at the events and situations happening. We can't just look at them as fleshly events. There is a spirit world and spiritual warfare taking place daily. If God was to pull back the covers and let us see the warfare that's happening, he showed it to Daniel, or told Daniel in the book of Daniel, how Daniel prayed. He was overcome or overtaken by the state of his people and want to know, you know, God had revealed to him a vision, and he's like, what does this mean? And Lord, please don't. But God had to show him what was to happen. But as he tried to get the word or his answered prayer to him, there was a heavenly warfare. See, God's angel and fallen angels were at war. We don't see these things. We look at the events going on and we think, oh, yeah, it's just the president. Oh, yeah, it's just the Democrats. That's just the Republicans. It's deeper than that. And we have to see beyond. See, the flesh will get caught up in the natural and taking sides, but we're not realizing there is a war to take our rights and our there's a war for this nation. Satan is trying to oust leaders all over the world. Remember, he's in support of a one-world government with him ruling and reigning. This is what the whole battle of Armageddon is all about. It's about when the event happened, when before Christ's second coming, Satan and Christ's kingdom or people will be at, there's a warfare going on where Satan thinks, and he will almost, it will seem like he's about to win, and that's the stuff that we see happening now. There is a war going on for a one-world government where everybody, every nation is to submit to the Antichrist. And we see it like now, as they call it globalism, where they're talking, you know, trying to get this one. That's what socialism and communism is all about. Marxism is a one-world government where we're governed by somebody at the top, and ultimately it's the Antichrist, okay? So the Antichrist wants to oust Israel. He's been after, or Satan has been after God's people forever, from the beginning of time, since the fall, right? He was started with Adam and Eve. It started with Noah. God had, evil was so prevalent that God had, that Satan had polluted all of the bloodlines except for Noah's. Noah's, the reason why Noah was considered righteous wasn't because of him as the person, you know, it wasn't his person, but it was the fact that he was of the lineage that Christ was going to come through. So Satan's effort, when he slept with the daughters the giants, the fallen angels slept with the women and produced giants. His effort was to pollute and corrupt bloodlines.
Yeah.
See, we have to see the bigger scheme of things behind the scenes. And so righteous Noah and his family was the only righteous seed. It had to be preserved. God said, let's start this thing over, because corruption and evil and wickedness is so prevalent. And it's the same thing when he started over. Guess what? Satan corrupted, planted bad seeds again. And it's going to come in this time, instead of God destroying the world with water, he's going to take his church out, but it'll be fire. It'll be purified with fire. This blue marble will not go away, but God will cleanse it with his fire. See? So what am I saying? We have to understand, because there's an effort to cause us to put our focus on the wrong things, and when Christ returns, we will not be ready. Many of us are in church and we're going through the motions of religious activities, but there is no oil, no fire, no work of the Spirit burning in our hearts to make a transformation from the inside out. Remember, he said, if any man be in Christ, we are a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, we are becoming new. See? And a lot of people are not experiencing this new creation. Meaning, and we read it last week, before I get into the scripture, we read last week that the word new, it meant new as to form or quality of a different nature from what is contrasted as the old. So the nature that I have now or before coming to Christ is a sinful nature. But when I come to Christ, Christ makes that sin nature dormant, where it's not producing works or acts of unrighteousness. Now I've been equipped with a divine nature so that he can put acts of righteous, give me a new nature, new in quality. See? You understand? So this new creation, not too many Christians experience. Why? Because the way is narrow. That means that I'm entering in through on a narrow path. I have to enter or go the path that Christ went, the Hadas. He's the way. If I leave off Christ and the cross, I will not experience this new or more abundant life, new in form, new in quality. See? I will continue to try to live a Christian life, but based upon a carnal mindset. See what I'm saying? God has to change everything about me. I don't care how good I think I am.
Amen.
I don't care how nice of a, because I've heard many Christians say, I'm a good person, I do this and do that. It's not about that. You're not good because of what you do. You and I are sinners because we were born into sin. We were born with a bent towards wrongdoing. And the only way God could correct that was by sending his son and me embracing what his son did on my behalf at Calvary, so that I can be equipped with a divine nature, the Holy Spirit, so that when my faith is in the right object, the cross, he can put in me, do the work of grace to transform me. Y'all see what
Amen.
I'm saying?
Yes.
So this is what has to be. This is the energy of the Spirit that has to be taking place in my life. The just shall live by faith. As my faith continues to be in Christ and the cross, the author and the finisher, he promises to finish me, meaning that when he comes to get his church, that which is still imperfect or not right in me, that condition, he's going to give me an incorruptible body. He's going to transform me, see?
Yes.
But I must be in Christ. And we said, just to recap, that to believe God or say I'm in Christ means that I have put my faith in what Christ did at Calvary. It means I believe him. And so it says in the notes, we conclude then that within the Bible context, the word believe means to commit oneself wholly to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, thereby taking on the character and personality of Christ and dedicating one's life to be molded into his image. That's what salvation is. That's what it means to be in Christ.
Amen.
So when you hear people talking about, you know, how they get on the war show and they say they believe in God, but they're generic.
Mm-hmm.
Christ told them in John 5, chapter 5, 6, and 7, or on up, all in there. He said, how can you say you love God, but you don't want to embrace me? If you don't have me, you don't have the Father.
Amen.
So we're trying to, people are trying to embrace God and say, yeah, I believe in God, and yeah, God is good, and yeah, I thank God. But what God are you referring to? Because a God without Christ and a God without the cross is another Jesus. With another gospel preached by another spirit. Understand that. So it says, true Christians work to take upon themselves the nature, character, and spirit of the one in whom they believe. They now strive with every ounce of energy to live for God to the highest degree of which they are capable. See? This is the whole point of salvation. It's not me working to be right with God. I'm already right with God. I got to now work to consecrate, keep myself separated from the things of the world so that my faith remains in him. I got to fight the good fight of faith. I got to fight to believe God. See, this is why Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. That's the only fight we're called to, but many of us are trying to fight to be delivered, fight to be changed, fight people, fight Satan, fight these demonic spirits. But Christ said, it's finished. At the cross, I became victorious over hell, death, sin, and the grave.
Amen.
So I have to fight to believe that in this world, because everything's going to come at me, not to believe. This is the struggle that you and I face. We are fighting, and in church, they're teaching us to fight our problems. But when they tried to enter into Canaan, they were fighting. They thought they had to fight the giants. You see what I'm saying? This is where unbelief comes in. They say, oh, there's giants over there. That we look like grasshoppers. So they thought they had to fight the giants. But two men said, we are well able to take the land, because they knew God had given it to them.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So they fought to believe God. They didn't try to fight the giants and saw themselves as grasshoppers. They believed the report of God.
Man.
This is how you and I are to live in this life, believing him despite the obstacles. Yeah, there's giants. Yeah, there's situations and problems. Yeah, there's sickness. But I choose to believe. I got to go through some things, remember? Because it is tribulation that's working patience. It's giving me the constancy to stand under the weight of the trial until God produces experience, a tried and approved character, Christ-likeness. See? This is the fight and the struggle with the believer. It's not somebody calling me a name. It's not somebody looking down on me and saying, or racism and this and that. That's just a trick of the enemy to divert your attention from the cross to your problems. And there we go, fighting a problem that God says is already won.
Amen.
Because remember, we're in a world where there's going to be corruption. There's going to be all kind of stuff. And God said all that stuff is condemned already. Anything outside of Christ is condemned. Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He said if you don't believe, you're already condemned. So why are we fighting the world when those think we should be trying to preach the light of the gospel, be the light of the gospel to the world, stand on the truth of God's word in the face of persecution or whatever, stand on the truth, expose the error and the wrongdoing so that these people eventually will be like, oh my, because of their faith, they chose to stand even when they were going to lose their life. See? This is what the world needs to see, not us over here pandering to their whatever they drum beat that they bring our way. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get back to Matthew 16. I'm sorry. I don't know how we got that way, but it's very important that we understand, just to recap, I was recapping, that we have to be in Christ and we have to understand what it means to believe God. It's not just me saying and giving a mental assent, because the devils believe and tremble. They believe that God exists. They pay homage. They bow down to him. You see what I'm saying? But they're not living for him.
Amen.
So they do that. They believe too. But this belief that we're talking about when it says putting your faith in the cross means that we have to commit ourselves wholly, body, soul, and spirit. This takes a lifetime to get all of this aligned, because we have so much in our heads and our hearts and our mind and our soul that's contrary to the way of God.
Amen.
And so the Holy Spirit, as your faith and my faith is in the cross, is working to bring all those things under the subjection of Jesus Christ, so that God can change. We can take on the character and the personality of Christ and dedicate our life to be molded into his image. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be in Christ, and that's what it means to believe.
Yeah.
Not me just saying, yeah, I believe God. That's the real meaning of being in Christ. Amen? So we're going to go to Matthew 16, if there are no questions.
Let me repeat again.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, I can imagine how God's feeling, because we're not believing in him that way. We believe him, like you said, those people believe, but they're not believing in him. And see, like, once we get saved, we just turn it on over to the church.
Right.
We believe in the doctrine. We believe in, but just come in and have the power of God in us, because if we got the, if we believe in him that way, then we will have that power in us. But
right.
It seems that we don't do it, because we get sidetracked or we just start looking at man or what.
Yes, ma'am. And remember, Satan's greatest tool is deception.
Yes.
So when a new convert comes, just like Adam and Eve, he came quickly,
mm-hmm.
and he brought about. He used the truth, mixed the truth with a lie. And this is how many people are falling or giving in to the deception that the enemy brings our way. He don't care. So he used people, he used family, he used friends. And this is why Christ, you read his brothers are like, hey, go on out. You doing all these miracles and stuff. Hey, you want followers? Go on to the wherever it was, Jerusalem or wherever. And they told him, because they didn't believe him. Like, we're not your followers.
Wow.
And so the enemy will use family. He will use anybody. He used Peter. So you and I, this is why we have to be, not saying we're suspicious and critical of everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in the spirit, you know, he said Christ didn't commit to man because he knew what was in man. There are people that put their faith in man and people. Like you just said, those things, they get into these organizations and they put all their faith in the pastor. And then when the pastor fell, they're like, they give up on God. No, your object of faith was wrong. And Satan knows that he will promote religious church and religious activities, because he doesn't want our faith in the power.
Amen.
He doesn't want our faith in where the power rests and lies, because if God ever get a Christian to put their faith on a daily basis in the cross of Christ, they will wreak havoc in the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
Amen. So Matthew 16, very good point. Verse 1, there is always a bullseye or a target on the believer when we place faith in the cross.
Amen.
Let's start at verse 1. The verses I want to get to, I think it's 2 and 4, but we'll start at verse 1 and read down through 4.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Noah.
Jonah. Okay. Okay. It's all good.
Okay.
Okay. We were talking about Noah earlier. So. All right. So we see here. Now, he had just fed thousands of people with the 7 feet loaves of bread and the fish, right? And now they're saying, give us a sign, okay? We're talking about the rapture of the church. And he said, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites. In other words, you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And this is where many people are. We can tell you about many things in life, situations, or whatever, but we cannot discern spiritual things, okay? He says, a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. A lot of people are looking for signs. But he said, there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. So this is talking about when he was in the belly of the, belly of the fish for 3 days. So it's Christ in the earth. So that's the sign. He's like, we're not doing that because I don't care what I do, you still won't believe. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's turn to Matthew 24, and I think it's 42 and 44. And I want us to see, and then we'll get on to where we need to be for tonight. Matthew 24.
Okay, 42.
And
42. 44. Mm-hmm. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Now, he's speaking of the Great Tribulation and the Battle of Armageddon, but he's also warning us to watch for the sign in all phases of the end time events, whether it's the rapture, Great Tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, what have you. We got to be watchful, okay? The Bible wants us, because there are a lot of us, we're not paying attention to the events that's happening. We're getting caught up with what the news say and looking at events from a fleshly perspective. Now, remember when Christ, and we use this all the time with Peter, he says, first he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then in the next breath, he says, you're not going to the cross. He said, Peter, he spoke to the spirit behind it. Whenever we're in the flesh, whenever we view things from a carnal perspective, you give Satan an avenue to speak through you, to use you. Job's wife, what did she say? Job going through a test, and she turned because she was being carnal. You might as well curse God and die, right?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? At his lowest point,
yeah.
Satan don't care who he uses, what he uses. See?
Yeah.
This is why we have to be very careful, because if you're not hearing or seeing things through the spirit, the eyes of the spirit, you will take offense and get caught up with your emotions and with people and what they're saying and this and that. You can become shaken in mind and spirit because of what the world is saying, you see. And he can control your, Satan can use your emotions. He can control them. This is why Christ told Peter that Satan has asked to sift you. See, this sifting is an inward agitation, and many of us are sifted because of the economy. We're sifted because of, it's an agitation from the inside out, and it's to overthrow your faith. So circumstances can cause us, this is what Satan used to sift us. See what I'm saying? They were concerned, Christ, he's supposed to be the Messiah. we supposed to be on our throne with him. But they were looking in the natural.
Yes.
Christ came to go to the cross. He had to, but they didn't want to hear that. You see what I'm saying? So it's very easy to look at things from a wrong perspective. In John chapter 6, we're not going to go there, but if you have time, you can read it. They tried to force Christ and make him a king, make him what they wanted. Make him what they wanted him to be. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so Christ had to escape them. He went away from them because they wanted to embrace him, but not for his purpose. Remember we read that salvation, the purpose of salvation, is for us to be changed to his image, to worship him, and to live for him wholly, body, soul, and spirit, to conform our mindset, our agendas, our motives to his will. You see?
Amen.
So Christ had to escape those people because they were going to force him, the scripture says, to be a king. They wanted an earthly king to overthrow Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It was not time for that. Because they rejected God, because they rejected Christ, God allowed the Gentiles to rule over Israel.
Amen.
So because there's a rejection, and same thing in a nation or whatever, when a people reject God and they reject his word, look at each nation that prospered and had the Bible as lifted up. As soon as they say, much Bible, much freedom, little Bible, little freedom.
Amen.
No Bible, no freedom. As soon as those nations got rid of the Bible and God, guess what came in? Totalitarian governments. And what's happening now? We're not careful. The same thing going to happen now. There's an evil work at play right now trying to oust that which we have that's right. But many of us can't see it because it's covered up, and we're deceived because it's covered up in something that sounds good. I'm giving you something free. Nothing's free, y'all. I'm going to give you all these good things that appear to be good, but behind the scenes is something to take away from us. You see what I'm saying? So as a nation or as a people reject Christ, as we reject his will, God's will in the earth, we lose our rights. We lose our liberty. You understand?
Amen.
So the first thing he tells us to do, and let's see where we're going to, we at Matthew 24. We already read that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me get back down here. I think we was in Matthew 25. That's where we were going, right?
Right.
So let's get to Matthew 25. As we're going there, I want us to see how we're supposed to give all diligence to let the Spirit of God work in us. Remember? And there are some conditions for remaining in Christ. See, there are some conditions. And I'm going to read these conditions while we're going to Matthew 25, and then we should be able to hit on some of them, okay? It says once again, these are some notes I'm reading. Four conditions for remaining in Christ. If it were impossible for Christians to be caught in the condition of unsuitability to meet the Lord, there would be no reason for Paul's exhorting Christians to avoid falling into this condition. So it says here, we're going to look at some positions that God or requires or conditions that he requires scripturally for us. If we are abiding by these conditions, which is sleeplessness, watchfulness, soberness, and coveredness. These conditions have to happen to keep me in Christ. I can't be asleep. So there has to be sleeplessness. And I'll explain what those are. Watchfulness. He always say, watch and pray. I got to be sober, and I need to be covered. Always, okay? So what Satan does, he tries to put us to sleep.
Amen.
While men slept, remember Christ sowed seeds, and it said that he sowed good seeds in a vineyard or a field. And while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when they got up, the good seeds start coming up, but at the same time, they saw the tares. And he said, Master, didn't we sow good seeds? But because men slept, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The enemy was able to come in and sow tares. So what am I saying today? The reason why many nations have fallen and are not in that blessed state where God's grace is flowing is because men slept. The church went to sleep. They refused to be to shine as light. And so darkness prevailed. You see what I'm saying? This is why this thing is in our hand. The church has been given the ball because Israel dropped the ball. They were supposed to evangelize the world, but they got caught up in the world. And so we see the same happening with the church. We're supposed to evangelize, push the gospel, and there is a true or remnant church that God is using. God always used the remnant in the Bible. It was always a small few because the majority got caught up and became religious, became an organized church that operated out of self-will and not the power of the Spirit. So there was a form of godliness, but there was no power. So God therefore used a remnant all throughout, each stage of the church or era of the church. God always had a remnant, okay? So the first thing he says is sleeplessness. Y'all at Matthew 25? I'm going to read this and then we'll get into it because this kind of covers what I want to get into. It says, sometime after the rise of Adolf Hitler to power in Germany, many Germans perceived the real intent of Hitler that was hidden behind his rhetoric to put a Volkswagen in every German carport. After organizing a door-to-door campaign to warn the German people of what lay ahead, they were met by a complacent, self-satisfied public that slammed the door on them for disturbing their peace. See that? So in other words, he was saying that Hitler came painted as something, someone good, with rhetoric that sounded good to the German people. We're going to put a Volkswagen in every carport. That's what he was saying, you know what I'm saying, purporting to the people. But some spiritual folks realized that something wasn't right with that guy. So they went and organized a door-to-door campaign trying to warn the German people of what would lay ahead if they embraced Hitler's message and his politics, right? But these people were complacent, self-satisfied, and they slammed the door on them and was like, why y'all disturbing our peace? So it says, it is with this in mind that we study the apostles' message, a warning to the Thessalonians that professing Christians who are asleep spiritually are living in danger of missing the rapture. See? The Greek word that the apostle used for sleep is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6 and is the Greek word katheudo, which means to repose oneself in sleep. And it's also used in Matthew 25, and we're going to get there, to describe the faithless, careless, indifferent virgins. Are y'all at Matthew 25?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, let's go ahead and let's start there. I wanted to explain
that. Amen.
To show the conditions for remaining in Christ, how we can make the rapture. See, there's conditions that we want that has to happen so that we won't get caught up with Satan's deception. Okay, let's start at verse 1.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise.
Let's stop right there, Sister Cherry. Okay. Can somebody get 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6? And we're going to keep our fingers there at Matthew 25, and then I'm going to explain this about being asleep. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Somebody got it?
1 Thessalonians 5 and 6.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Go ahead.
Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
Y'all at 1 Thessalonians?
Uh-huh. 5 and 6.
Five or six.
I mean,
5 and verse 6.
Okay. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Okay. So the note says, be overcome. When it says let us not sleep, it means be overcome by lethargy and apathy. But let us watch and be sober. The Christian is to maintain his relationship with Christ by continued watchfulness, even as it regards his personal life and prophetic events. See? If I don't know what to watch for, how am I going to? I'm going to fall asleep. I'm not going to be aware. So they're going to cause me to fall asleep on the things of God. You see what I'm saying? So when he said, awake thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, meaning that they were insensitive to the things of God. They were not divinely influenced, meaning that their faith was not in the cross and the Holy Spirit, the energy of the Spirit was not at work to awaken them and cause them to be aware of what was going on around them. Okay? So the word cthudo or for sleep is metaphorically as carnal insensitivity to divine things. So in other words, like Peter, thou art the Christ, yes, the Son of the living God. But when Christ said, my way, yes, I'm the Christ, I'm the truth, but the way is going to Calvary, he said, far be it, you're not going to the cross. Because it conflicts with my agenda, with my presupposed ideas or conceived ideas about who you are and why you came. Y'all know we get those ideas. We think God gonna work a certain way.
Amen.
And Lord, like, dang, I'm not doing that because this is how I'm working.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So if it was up to us, we wouldn't go through nothing.
Amen.
So, he's right. So he says, this is someone to be asleep means there's carnal insensibility to divine things involving conformity to the world. See what I'm saying? So it was a spiritual sleep with the Apostle Paul contrasted spiritual sleep with the natural sleep that comes at night and with the drunkenness that dulls a person's senses. When you have sleep, or you're asleep and tired, you can't think right. How many of us been there to the
Amen.
Point where when you're tired, you're drained, you're exhausted, right?
Amen.
So another Greek word for sleep may be mentioned here that carries the same connotation of cthudo, but with a little different slant. The word is found in Romans 13 and 11. And in that scripture it says, and that knowing the time is to the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep. See, it's the same thing. We got to shake off lethargy. We got to shake it out. We got to become spiritually alert. So the world system, being in the world, causes us to go to sleep because most, and when I look at kids and youth, they're caught up because self is on the throne of the heart. What it means to be carnal means you're looking at things from a human perspective. Right? So the kids are influenced by what's popular, whether it's in clothes, hairstyles, y'all understand? And most of us, we are influenced by what the world is doing and what they say, right? Even the church world, you look at the church world is influenced by most of these big-time gospel artists who ain't living for God, but because there's a semblance of I've arrived, now we're all striving to be like You see what I'm saying? Now the world is in the church, and there we go, all striving to be like the world, but we think because we're in church, it's not the world.
Ooh, amen.
But not understanding that most of these big-time gospel artists, they're not living for God. They're parting with Hollywood. They're doing the same things that the world is doing. You see what I'm saying? But we make them spiritual just because they have titles and accolades and positions.
Amen.
Mr. Peterkin?
Yes, ma'am.
I have went to churches, and those artists and stuff, they were singing, and a lot of them, they was high.
Wow.
And that's how they get up there and do all that singing and moving and running down the platform with the guitars and
right.
drums and stuff, because they be high.
Right, right.
Now, I have seen them.
Wow.
And that's not a form of godliness. That's not
right.
Christ.
Right. Amen.
But
Amen.
People be shouting and jumping up and hollering over it.
Right. I've been to it where they the musicians, they were great because they had a gift and an ability. They controlled the worship. They controlled the shouting. They played the music that got people up. And so they were playing. One time we were there, they were playing Money, 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 the music to it. And the church was like, nothing's wrong. They just went through the motion. And I'm like, that's not. They were playing Money, went offering time. Money, Money, Money.
And
rap songs. Rap songs.
Right.
Nothing but, you know, I call them the blues. They
right.
put different lyrics into it.
Right. So because we're asleep, because we're insensitive, we're carnal, and we're insensitive to the Spirit of God, we think it's okay. See, we're not clothed with Christ. We're not we've not allowed Him to create and change our image, change us to the image of Jesus Christ. So therefore, it appeals to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It appeals to our lust. So this is why Satan says, go to church.
Mm-hmm.
He promotes all these big ministries and make it look so successful and like they're not being persecuted. But the person that's living for Christ, see, those are the ones that get persecuted and opposition comes against and the world hates, you see. So it says here, I'm still going over this word, and I'm going to get to Matthew 25. The Greek word for sleep means that we are exhorted to awake out of. I'm getting some feedback in one of the lines. It says we are to awake out of, and it's hypno from the root word hypnos. It is the same word from which our word hypnosis is derived. Hypnosis is a state that resembles sleep but is induced by a person whose suggestions are readily accepted by the subject. This is what false teachers do who are sent by Satan behind the pulpits. They give suggestions. This is what the media does. They suggest. See? This is what they make these suggestions, but they're really hypnotizing us to become insensitive to spiritual things and the ways of God, and we put our guards down.
Amen.
So we're induced by a person whose suggestions are readily accepted by the subject. So Satan comes to Eve. Here we go. This is a perfect example. God's word said, don't eat. So he says, you shall not surely die, right? And the woman comes in because she ain't sure of the word, she adds to it. See? Y'all know how we do. We add to something, sayings we get. And by the way, come as you are. That ain't in the scripture. Well, yeah, we done made it. The Bible said, come as you are. But there's no scripture that says it. I'm just using this as an example. And so Satan says, okay, got him. You see what I'm saying? So he take my ignorance or my misquoting of God's word, and he twists it to suggest something else that God meant by it. This is why, that's why I say you have to watch. Be careful how you hear and watch and see on TV, because they will put suggestions, and it don't matter if it's preaching, teaching, whatever you are, they will put out some stuff, and you will, not understanding the scripture, readily accept what that subject has given. See? And so then you and I become hypnotized or spiritually asleep because we're listening to another spirit. It's the voice of Satan who suggests that we turn our eyes from the Lord and toward things that direct our attention to the world. See that?
Amen.
This is what the world does. This is Satan is the god of the world system. So in our schools, in the education, he's hijacked that. He's hijacked everything. Everything that's in this world, he controls. So what does he do? He indoctrinates our youth. In our churches, they're set up as religious organizations, but guess what? We just said it. They're indoctrinated, and people come to know church tradition, programs, and religious activities, but no Christ. They don't know Christ.
Amen.
They don't understand the cross. We don't understand. So we become indoctrinated, and so when God finally pulls us out, he has to put us in a wilderness where he has to undo, see? Later, for going back into something else we don't know that's promoting the same old thing, he has to put you aside. See, when David was kicked out of Jerusalem by Saul, he went to the cave of Adullam. And in the cave, it said everybody that was oppressed, depressed, see, they followed him. David was a type of Christ, and that cave was a type of the cross. So he was rejected by the religious world system, Jerusalem. He was kicked out from the temple, see?
Amen.
But yet he was right where God wanted him to be because God was using the trials to develop him.
Amen.
He was the king. He was already anointed. So David didn't have to fight to be king. God had already called him that, but the trial had to test his faith before he was thrown as king, you see? What am I saying? We're children and we're in Christ, but our faith has to be tested to make sure that our faith is in the cross. So God allows the trials not for us to fail, but so that I won't become asleep.
Amen.
So that I won't become induced by somebody else's suggesting something that's contrary to faith in Calvary. You see what I'm saying? So it takes, sometimes we look at it and you may not have, it may just be you and somebody else and you feel like, wow, everybody else going that way. But it's just me and the Lord say, yep, it takes that because I got to develop you. I'm the potter. You're the clay. I need to mold you. See? Sometimes we think we should be here, there, doing this with a title, and God said, nope, you ain't ready.
That's right. Amen.
You see? And so if we look at it from a carnal perspective, if we look at it from a human perspective, we'll think that we should be where these other folks are that we think is right, and God says, nope, you are precious to me. I will hold you back, and I will keep you in my quiver because I am teaching you. I am training you. And oftentimes what God does when that archer makes his arrows and all that stuff, he develops it to the point where it's perfect or where he wants it, and then he doesn't use it right away. He puts it back in the quiver.
Amen.
And many of us, God has in the quiver because God is not ready for us to be exposed until his timing is right. Then he will use you perfectly for his will.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So we can't get caught up. And so we got to learn not to let the world pull us away from being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Everything has to be looked at through the eyes of the cross. Everything. I don't care how minute, how simple it is, how big it is, how small.
Amen.
Everything that I do, my thinking, my views, my way of life, everything has to be developed because the love of Christ is not naturally in anyone. The agape love of Christ has to be developed in us all.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's go back. I just wanted us to see, first of all, one of the things required to be in Christ is to continue to be in Christ is that we have to have sleeplessness. Can't be sleep. Got to be forever watchful, okay? So let's go back to Matthew 25. And I think it was verse 1. So he says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, and which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And we went over this. So this is talking about, it says, they who were foolish took the lamps and took no oil with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this foolish group. So this, what it means to take the lamps and not have oil, if you have oil, you constantly have to trim the wick to keep it clean so that there's no smoke giving off more so than light, right? And keep it filled with oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. So this group, the 5 that were foolish, didn't take oil, which means the oil of the Spirit, meaning that they may have started out right. See, you can start out right, and that's why we said being in Christ. Watch sleeplessness, and we're just going to focus on that for right now. Sleeplessness, we cannot become hypnotized by the world, by the church world, by anything outside of faith in the cross. If I try to plan for myself, and I try to dictate how I want to live my Christian life, it is it can pull me away from Christ and the cross. So these 5 foolish began to live outside of faith in the cross for whatever reason. That's what made them foolish. They did not keep their faith in the cross. The Bible says the just shall live how? By faith.
By faith.
Right? So that means from every day, every circumstance, for the process of sanctification, you and I have to always keep our faith. Look to the cross, because sometimes, or most of the time, God is dealing with us, even though other people may be wrong in certain situations. How you respond shows what area of your heart needs to be fixed.
Amen.
God is not concerned about how they responded. He's more concerned about how you and I respond as a Christian.
Amen.
You know, we can assume and make false. See, we're not supposed to judge other people's motives. Where we go, somebody make a wrong face at me and they have a different color, and boom, they racist. I was in a doctor's office the other day, and I thought I was going to see a regular doctor, but I had to see a nurse practitioner. But she came in with a staunch, hard face, and I was like, oh, because I want a certain test done, right, and to make sure I'm on track and health-wise, blah, 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 blah. Well, she just had this stern, hard face and was like, you don't need that test. It's just going to tell you blah, 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 blah. Well, we already know that you're blah, 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 and this going on, so you don't need it. What's the point? It's just redundant. And I just, because I was armed and equipped with the knowledge to know, the Lord had to bring it to me. At first, I could have got like, well, who she thinks she is? She just racist. That was not a part of my thinking, though. But I'm saying how easy we can look at a color of a person's skin and just say, judge their motives because we're not getting what we want. See what I'm saying? And by the time she and I finished and I explained what I wanted and why I wanted it, and because I had already read and knew what, her whole demeanor changed. She said, I'll be right back. When she came back, she had all those tests put in for me to have. and she was very helpful and gave me some more information. But had I just, because of her staunch look and because she was of another race, another color, had I just said she racist, I would have been denied.
Yes.
What I was looking. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy tries to get us to look at things and people judge their motives. And
mm-hmm.
the Bible tells us, judge not the motives of anyone. Because I don't know her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she can't. She could have had a funky day that day. But that's not my place to call her a racist, because she, and even if she was, that's her. That's her issue. That's not my issue. She got to let God deal with her heart. Y'all understand? But the enemy can pull us and persuade us from our with our emotions when we let our emotions control us, and we go outside of faith in the cross. Everything I need was in the cross. So God had already revealed what test I should ask for. That's not the normal thing that doctors give. And because I knew, I was able. You see how he gave the Holy Spirit something to work with.
Yes.
Now, if I would have went in there and just got mad, I want this test. You get it.
And get what you want.
She right, and she has a job too. They can't just go ordering all these. Everybody
right.
can come
mm-hmm.
in saying what you see what I'm saying. So we gotta be led by the Spirit one, and we can't go in trying pouting to get our way and calling other people what they're not.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So these foolish, I don't know how we got there, but they went outside of the domain of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not help me in my sin. He will not help me in my error. He will not help me in my wrong. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
So they were foolish because, and if I try to pull the Holy Spirit in that mess, he'd be like, that ain't faith in the cross. That's you trying to get your way.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So many of us, even as a Christian, we can become arrogant and prideful, think because we are have a title or position that we know and we demand a certain right, or be treated a certain way. That's not God.
Amen. That's right.
You see what I'm saying? That's not God. So we have to learn to look at everybody. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what kind of household they came out of. Everybody the same way. I cannot like one person of high position and then dislike this other one because they don't look like me or they don't act like me. God called us to be light to a world.
Yeah.
Of darkness. And that world of darkness, God does not take race. God does not take my status into consideration. He sees one of two people. You're either in Christ or you're a sinner.
Amen.
You're in Christ or you're dead in Christ. You see what I'm saying? You're dead to the things of God. You're in Christ or you're in the world. You're in Christ or you're controlled by Satan. One or two places to be. If you're not in Christ, you're under control of Satan.
Amen.
Amen. So
Amen.
Let's see how much time we got here because we can get carried away. Let me see how much time we got. I think we're good on time. Let me see here. But anyway, so these virgins were, we got 4 minutes. These virgins were foolish because they did not stay within the confine or the domain of the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we see here it says, let me get to the scripture. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. It says a constant flow of the Spirit within their hearts and lives, which can only come about and be maintained by one's faith in Christ and the cross. When the priest would fill the lamps, their duty was in the temple or the tabernacle to make sure the lamps, which gave light into the tabernacle, there was no windows there. So if the lamps went out, there would be pure darkness. Okay. So the priest's job was to make sure oil was flowing and the wicks were trimmed twice a day. They had to go in and make sure and pour, replace that oil, okay? This is the Holy Spirit. It's a constant flow, uninterrupted. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. See?
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant. The Spirit is life, spiritual life. So every day that I live by faith in the cross, it guarantees that the Spirit of God will supply his oil or his energy, his power, his grace, and his mercy so that I can shine in darkness.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? When the light shone, it allowed the priest to put the bread. You could see the table, the showbread, the manna, the bread that they used. It gave them, they had to eat the bread of life. There was the altar of incense where prayer was offered. You see what I'm saying? So when the lights go out, just like with Eli, he did not. He spiritually, there was no spiritual sight. The light, it went dark. See, God had to raise up Samuel, a little boy, who wasn't really allowed, supposed to be in the temple doing those duties. See, but because Eli. His sight went dim. He became dull to the things of God. So it says here, verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and did what? Y'all help me out.
Slept.
See what I'm saying? They went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
They went to sleep. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. This is the rapture of the church. Okay? So then it says all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. It says in the notes, but without the oil, the trimming was useless. This is religious activity without the Holy Spirit. Going through the motions. This is what they were doing. Going through the motion. There was no oil. There was no flow of God's Spirit. This is what we do when we go to church and we do these religious programs and activities and all this stuff week after week. We're trimming, but there's no oil.
Amen.
We have a form of godliness, but there's no power.
No power. Amen.
See, and only when the rapture came did they realize they had no oil.
Amen.
Can you read verse 8 for me again, please?
And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.
Okay, now stop. Now notice it said, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. That's when they got serious about their spiritual walk. You see what I'm saying? And
yes.
This is most people in the church. We're not serious about our spiritual condition, divine things, according to God's way, until the cry was made.
Amen.
And that was not the time to go and try to trim your, get some oil and trim your lamps. That was not the time.
Amen.
So when they said, they told the wise, and this lets you know, when they spoke to the wise, give us of your oil, they were trying to get oil from man.
Uh-huh.
This is what they were used to.
Mm-hmm.
Religious man cannot get oil from another man. This has to flow from the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? So it doesn't come from others. It comes from him.
Yes.
And we're on that note, we're going to have to close. Y'all mark verse 9 for me, please.
Amen.
You cannot get spiritual energy from religious man or religious church. It doesn't happen. You will put on a pretense, but you know in yourself that the oil of God's Spirit is not flowing.
Amen.
And so God, this is why he puts this parable there, because he's warning us. We don't know. The rapture can happen at any time. And we have to come out from the world. The world's not going to like us. And you got to be okay with that.
Yeah,
if you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter. You know, we get concerned about what people think of us. Remember, we're not on display. Christ is. So when Christ is on display, we'll be able to stand on the word of God and say, as he said, it is written. And not be swayed by what the enemy can do or has done. You see?
Yeah.
And so on that note, we're going to close, and we pray that we said some things that will strengthen each of us in our walk, because God is truly good, and he's done a lot for us, and we have to understand what it means to be in him, and we have to understand that he loves us so much, and he's put this end-time information to warn everyone, and we have to teach it to people, because many don't know and understand what is to take place, because Satan has us deceived, okay? And a lot of people don't realize, they think that, just like with Noah, he said they were eating and drinking, and as they were doing those things, Noah continued to preach righteousness. He didn't stop. And then when it started to rain, the door was shut, just like these five foolish, it was too late. So we don't want anybody to get stuck at that or in that position. Amen?
Amen.
So on that note, we're going to close, but we'll pick up next week at this scripture, verse 9. And we, until next Tuesday at 6:45, those on the line, hold on, and we'll take questions and comments. But we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.